May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here we are on one of the strangest days in the church calendar, the day when we remember our mortality, that we are but dust, where in only a few minutes we will literally walk forward and someone will wipe ashes on your forehead as a tactile reminder that the Christian life is rooted and grounded in ordinary things like dust and earth, and that repentance, though it might feel like a big, ominous word, is nothing more than intentionally turning your face toward a new direction. So I did not grow up practicing Lent. In my Christian upbringing, we pretty much went from Christmas to Easter. My mom would take us to buy new Easter shoes, little white gloves, and new Easter dresses every year. We focused for a few minutes on Good Friday and moved about as quickly as we could to the resurrection, where we shouted and sang for joy that our good God raised Jesus from the dead. But several years ago, during a painful season of doubt and a very real faith crisis, I stumbled upon the liturgical year and decided to pay more attention to it. What is it with all these seasons, I wondered, and how would they help me? What some traditions understand is that intentional focus does something to aid our spiritual lives. So we come out of Epiphany and the first short season of ordinary time into Lent. And the start of Lent, as Pastor Jeff said, is today, Ash Wednesday. So Lent is comprised of 40 days minus Sundays, where we remember the season that Jesus himself spent time in the desert, where he fasted and then was tempted by Satan or the accuser. JJ did a really beautiful job reading that story, didn't he? So this is an interesting story to me for a number of reasons. First, the timing of it is something to note. And also how Jesus was led into the desert is also something I think we should make note of. So the story directly before the story when Jesus goes into the desert to see his, he goes out to see his cousin. So before he goes into the desert to fast, he goes out to the wilderness to see his cousin, John the Baptist. And he gets baptized in order to fulfill all things. And right as he comes up out of the water, this voice comes out of the sky. And the voice affirms Jesus as God's beloved son. God the Father speaks nothing but affirmation, love, and approval. And then this dove comes down and sits on Jesus' shoulder. And right after this great moment of love and affirmation, the dove, also known as the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Counselor, the Comforter, leads Jesus into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. Where is the comfort in that? That's something in itself we should ponder. So what we see from the scene before is that this desert fast that Jesus does has nothing to do with chastisement or winning the approval of God. Jesus has all the approval he could ever need. This intentional time in the desert is something altogether different. Some of you might remember that the Israelites wandered for 40 years in the desert, and they too were tested. They needed to learn how to trust in God. On their long journey, recorded in Exodus and Numbers, we read that they didn't do quite as well as Jesus did. The three tests that Jesus underwent are significant. They're questions that each of us face over and over during the course of our lives. The first, when push comes to shove, when the rubber meets the road, when you're desperate and famished, in whom do you place your trust? In God or yourself? And the second, will I take the shortcut? Will I settle for a cheapened version of who I am called to be? Or will I be a woman of integrity? Will I exchange my loving relationship with God for the quick applause from people, for the lights of the stage? Or will I build my life on something deeper, on something more substantive than quick fame and the applause of crowds? And the third, in order to test the limits of God's love for me, will I ask God to perform, to prove God's self? Or will I worship God in quiet humility? These are all significant questions, important for all of us to study and reflect upon. And while we could dedicate the entire message to those three tests, I want to look at something a little different. So about 5 years ago, I decided to take up hot yoga. And what struck me at about the sixth session, so I went like for like those 10 for $20, about the sixth session in, was the realization that in every single class, right at the beginning, the yoga instructor would say, set your intention for this class, or what will be your intention for this hour? And I'd pause and think about what I wanted to be about during this yoga hour, and I'd focus on that one thing during that hour. Now, human beings are spiritual beings. Ecclesiastes tells us that God has put eternity in our hearts. That is to say, you are a physical person, and you are also a spiritual person. We are both spirit and body, and both are important. But the thing about the spiritual life is that by and far, it's unseen. We don't see the spiritual side of things. We see the physical side. What we know from Jesus, though, and from many other places in Scripture, is that when you attend to the spiritual side of things, it will, over time, affect the physical. Jesus tells us that when we pray, we are to go into our closet, where no one can see us, and the Father who is unseen will reward you. While none of us, unless we have this incredible gift of vacation or a big, long sabbatical, is about or able to go into the desert for 40 days. And I don't know about you, but if I had 40 days to go on vacation, I would much rather go to white, sandy beaches. So instead of the real trip to the desert, the liturgical year offers us a gift, the gift of Lent. Lent is a season where God invites us to intentionally attend to our spiritual lives. The thing is, the rule of the spiritual life is much like the rule of the physical life. We all know that if we want to bring our body into health, there are things we can do. I can take up yoga, like I did, or running. Or I can become a member of a gym and go to those very difficult spinning classes, which literally kill me every single time. And in the spiritual life, we can add things too. We can pick things up to bring our spiritual reality into focus. We could meditate on Scripture. One summer when my children were young, I memorized Romans chapter 8 over the course of the summer. And I carried those little 3x5 cards everywhere. And every week I added a new section to Romans 8 to memorize. And now I know very deep in my bones that nothing could ever separate me from the love of God and that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. One could also wake up 15 minutes earlier every day to intentionally pray and focus your day with God at the center. I've intentionally gone on service projects or on activist marches to stand in solidarity with victims of injustice. Or some of us might practice writing a gratitude journal. All of these practices work in your spiritual life by adding something, by doing something. But Like our physical bodies, adding things is not the only way to bring them into shape. While exercise will aid to overall health, we all know that if we really want to bring our body into good health, there are seasons and times when we need to abstain from certain foods altogether, when we need to remove certain things. So this is also true of the spiritual life. Now, I am a novice gardener. I have this little raised bed garden in my backyard. And most of the time when I'm working in my garden, I add things. I water, I put compost down, I talk to my plants and pray for them. But sometimes the greatest gift I can give them is to let them go a couple of days without water so that their root system has a chance to take hold. So a number of years ago when I was living in Bothell, this huge storm came and swept through the neighborhood, well, through all of Bothell area, and the wind whipped and the rain pelted, and a really tall tree near my neighbor's house blew right over and crashed down into their master bedroom and all the way into their downstairs living room. What ended up being the greatest renovation of their life, because it actually gave them an opportunity to renovate, but it was also quite traumatic, as you can imagine. The whole tree thing stumped me, no pun intended. The tree was so tall, wouldn't it have had a better root system? And my neighbors explained to me that it rains so much here in Seattle that the tree could grow tall, but because it never lacked for water, its roots were never forced to go down deep. Scripture has a lot to say about roots and trees, doesn't it? Grace read a really beautiful passage to us tonight. And in the passage she read, it says that a person, a man or a woman, who puts their trust in God is like a tree whose roots go down deep, so that even when the storms of life come, or the terrible droughts, where you wonder if anyone will ever bring you a glass of water again, you have a source that gives you water that nothing in this world could ever begin to compare with. Jesus himself says in the Gospel of John that he is the water of life. So, how would one go about it if one were to say they wanted to attend to their roots? Lent is a gift to you. It is an intentional season when you can decide with many other friends to add something to your spiritual life, something that you need, or to practice one of the ways of Jesus. You might decide that this Lent you'd like to give something up, take something away in order to help you learn to drink water from a deeper source. 2 years ago, I decided to give up alcohol for Lent. It was hard. But by the end, as we turned the corner toward resurrection and all things joyful, I found that I had more clarity, more peace, and more trust in God, less anxiety than I had had in years. Last year, I gave up sugar, flour, and yeast, the triple three. The first few days, I wondered what the purpose of life was. I definitely hangered, but by the end of my 40 days, I had more self-restraint, more authority over my own food cravings, and a deeper sense of God's presence than I had had in a very long time. So perhaps some of us might consider, or some of us might consider, setting aside maybe even social media in order to learn to listen to God's approval and God's affirmation. Now, it's important to remember that just as it is in the physical life, so it is in the spiritual life. Transformation takes time. And sometimes we don't see the fruit of our intentional practice for a while. But I promise, just as every tree bears fruit in due season, so you too will see the fruit of your intentional practice. So my question for you tonight on Ash Wednesday as you come in just a few minutes for the imposition of ashes. During this intentional season, over these next 40 days, how is God inviting you to attend to your roots? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who invites us to partake and participate in our spiritual well-being. And we want to thank you for the gift of Lent. And I ask that you would lead us, each of us, into this season of intention, and that you would be gracious to us as we participate in our spiritual lives with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.